podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
How do you assess the last four games compared to where this team was at the start of the season?
Excuse me.
Kendry Morales with a home run.
Wrong pipe.
Vladimir Guerrero had key hits along, along the way. And the Angels batting order. Angels batting order just,
Sorry.
It's all right.
Happens, wore out the Red Sox pitching staff.
Hold on a second.
You got to walk away on that at that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to unpack, right?
Oh, man.
It's happened to me.
Oh, it happens to me, too. The wrong hole or pipe.
It's just bad when it's on live.
It's not the wrong
radio
hole.
Or
yeah, the wrong
television.
Pipe. Are there multiple pipes? Just one pipe?
No, I think it branches off.
Does it branch off?
It branches off? One side goes to the lungs, and one side goes to the stomach.
Huh.
And you don't want the water to go into the lungs side.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure that's how it works?
I watched that video.
Breathe in air through your mouth. Where does it go? Goes down the same tube that your food goes down, but it branches off to the right spot when you're breathing in. I think there's a little, like an epiglottis thing that kind of,
when you're eating, it closes. What do we say, wrong hole or wrong pipe?
I say wrong pipe.
Wrong hole would down be if you poured pipe. Water up your nose. It
goes down the wind pipe.
Okay. That's the pipe for wind. Or
the
breath.
Wind, yes.
Okay, I got it.
The windpipe.
One pipe. One pipe, two holes. Makes sense.
Probably watched that video of Schilt yesterday at least 10 times.
I did too. I loved it. I like stuff like that a lot. It gives a little levity to a really crappy weekend. A very, very...
I literally turned off the postgame. I didn't even want to watch. I was not happy with the loss. And then you texted us. You go, did something just happen in the press conference? Said, hang on. Let me go look.
Paulie found it. The worst feeling. You can't get it back. You can't get it back.
That's the order he tried.
And you fight through it. And it's just the worst. Well, it's the worst, man.
Oh,
listen. It is fairly dire for our beloved San Diego Padres. I know we have Shador here. I feel weird not continuing to bash the Padres, though. I do. I'll just be honest. This is usually like a pre-show conversation, but I do feel weird moving on from a three-game sweep. Is that a fair statement to make?
No, we're certainly going to hit it many other times.
I get it.
You want to keep talking about it.
I kind of do.
It's fine.
You can flip-flop.
We can maneuver.
I can give you the good news, at least.
What we honestly should be doing is going to break. I know we just went to a commercial break, but don't do this. Could take us an hour
it
and
could.
25
it's
minutes.
It's very busy today.
I can give you some good news, and that is both Jackson Merrill and... Brandon Lockridge were taking swings before the game yesterday. They're, I believe, scheduled to be in Peoria today to face live pitching. And Luis Arraez could be back as soon as tomorrow off the concussion list.
Yeah.
So there is help coming. And not like the help like, what could help this team right now? No, legitimate help. Like things that change the entire complexion of the Padres lineup could be returning fairly soon. Jake is still... likely, 2 to 3 weeks away from a potential return, but everybody else is getting close to coming back. And honestly, if we don't already know this by now, Jackson Merrill makes a huge difference.
Yeah, he does.
For this team and in this lineup.
Hi, this is Jackson Merrill.
Let's talk too about. So I saw this take yesterday, and I think there's elements of it I do agree with. It is certainly when your depth gets hurt, and you have to go to your extra depth. And the extra depth isn't great at all. It does give you a little bit of worry. Like, are we thinking that Merrill, Arraez, Cronenworth, and Hayward are going to come back and it's immediately going to go back to how it was? I don't know that that's the case, right? It's baseball. It's
They were already playing a little over their skis.
They were, a little bit. The hot start is not something really anybody could have imagined.
Or you can't expect, you plug those guys back in, they don't go on a 15-4 run every
19 games. But does it expose some greater weaknesses. So Merrill's going to come back. Arise is going to come back. Certainly be great to have those guys back in the lineup. They're Padres. We love them. They play well. Merrill, cornerstone of the franchise, one of them. It exposes, though, Ben, a little bit of, okay, well, these guys all have an opportunity. The Tirsos, the Gonzalez's, Tyler Wade's been okay, right? Like, above his head a little bit, I would say. You're still going to need a lot of contributions from those guys. They've been given an opportunity. None of them have really seized said moment.
Well, you still need them. You knew that not every single one of AJ's minor league contract invitation non-roster signings was going to pan out. No team hits on every non-roster invite to spring training. Padres have entirely too many of them on the field right now. Connor Joe has not worked out very well. Yuli Gurriel has not worked out
at all
very well. Jose Iglesias has worked out fine.
Yeah.
You know, if you're asking him to do, you know, start a couple of times a week, pinch hit here or there, I love Jose Iglesias on this team.
Sure.
I think that was a great move. Oscar Gonzalez has stepped up and done a pretty good job for what you've hoped he could do. He's not an everyday starter. He shouldn't be an everyday starter. So there's been some okay hits and okay, you know, some misses. You just can't have them all playing at the same time. And
yeah.
I think any team would be in trouble when you get to the depth of the depth. Could AJ have done a better job developing some of the minor leaguers so they could step in? Sure. Sure. I would say most teams probably could say that we would like to have more depth, more young guys who are capable of stepping in if we needed to have, you know, extended period of time for 3 weeks could come in and start. But most teams would be struggling like this. If they face the same kind of injuries that the Padres have faced over the last couple of weeks. Only the Dodgers really have unlimited depth. And even they've been somewhat tested, you know, with some injuries early this season.
Their position players are healthy, and the top of their order is healthy. And that's a huge, huge spot. Now, they're losing pitchers one a day. Glasnow came out again yesterday after an inning. And it doesn't look great for him. And he's going to join the other dozen guys. They'll find a way to make it work. Their position players, they're finding ways to win games because there are guys like Andy Páez, who I called the first week of the season the worst major leaguer I've ever seen. He's the best major leaguer I've seen in the last 2 weeks. He's crushing it and making, you know, he's settled in defensively. Their guys, Ben, are stepping up. You know, they are stepping up and they're finding ways to win ball games. Now, they had the Pirates. Now, they lost to Paul Skeens, but they beat the Pirates 2 out of 3. Now they have the Marlins.
I love Paul Skeens.
He was awesome, by the way, on Friday night. He was absolutely awesome. That was an interesting game. But, you know, man, when your lineup is healthy and you've got three MVPs at the top of it, you're feeling pretty good about your chances. And I do feel better when Jackson gets back if he's healthy, and Arise gets back if he's healthy. But, man, there were opportunities to win a couple of these games. There really, really were. And guys just did not come through. And poor defense bit us in the ass the first two games. It's just Xander is a tough one, man. He's scuffling so hard right now.
How do you navigate calling one guy out? Because it does seem like, and look, and I'm not defending Xander here, does feel like he's getting the bulk of
the
criticism.
Yeah.
And I guess that comes with the paycheck that he gets. But if he took money aside, it doesn't seem like it's totally fair to only call him out. I mean, there's like 7 guys that aren't hitting right now.
I mean, who is Fernando Tatis Jr. is really the only guy that's consistent.
I mean,
right
technically
now.
Manny is off to a much better start this year than
was usual
last year.
I looked at his Savant.
His sliders are pretty good. He's not.
His defense is actually the worst of his sliders.
He's not getting very lucky. He's hit the ball hard. He's not lifting it into the air, so he's not getting home runs. But Manny's not. He's not struggling at the plate by any sense of the imagination. He's just not getting a lot to show for it so far this season. So he's doing okay. They just need him to do a little bit more. But Tatis is the only one who's really producing at this point.
Like, he's probably the only one that's like completely avoiding any criticism right
and,
now. Right?
And he's avoiding it, and he's avoiding it. I mean, he's not hitting a homer or a double every at bat.
Right.
I mean, he's had a couple of crap at bats too. They all do.
Jackson Merrill was fantastic the entire time he was in there. Arise, you know, had some bad luck the first, you know, 16, 18 at bats of the season. Since then, he's been fantastic.
Yeah.
but they're both out until they're not, and that changes the lineup. Now, it's also a matter of started 9-9 and then had gone 8-2 in their last 10 games to get to 17-11. We'd all be absolutely thrilled with where they are right now. Game and a half out of first place, you know, fifth best record in baseball. They have the best record against National League teams right now. You know, all these, the 7-9 stretch is all against interleague, you know, opponents who aren't even in their league. They're just not playing well in interleague series right now, but they've done the job in the National League. They get back to that tomorrow night against the San Francisco Giants. And with the moves they made over the weekend, with Kyle Hart going down and going with the four-man rotation, they got Nick Pivetta and Michael King set up to face the Giants the first two games against a red-hot team. Really important series here for the San Diego Padres to stabilize and, you know, make us feel all a little bit better if they can get something done the next couple of days against the Giants.
Yeah, guys are gonna have to step up. And like I tweeted yesterday, you just got swept by the Rays. Your prize is Logan Webb. You know, that's your prize. You're gonna have to elevate your game a little bit again. Hopefully, Luis is back.
They also have to face Nick Pivetta though.
Yeah, they do,
and that ain't anything easy.
Nick Pivetta's been great, man. But yeah, like it just. It's hard. Tatis is really, you feel like, the only one that's truly stepping up, raising his game, elevating his game a little bit right now when you need it from at least the top four in your lineup. It's hard to throw Gavin Sheets in there. You know, that guy, I said last week, he really had earned some looks, you know, against left-handed pitching and things like that. And he's turned into a pumpkin a little bit, man. It's a long season. It's a struggle. I'm sure his confidence is shot. Xander's confidence is shot right now. It's a tough watch. They're a tough, tough watch right now. There
honestly,
is no denying.
Outside of Manny and Tatis, just offensively, I'm probably most comfortable next right now with Tyler Wade.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he tries to do something. You know,
but, you know, when they needed him in a big spot to come through yesterday, that was a strikeout.
That was a gnarly matchup, dude. That matchup for him, I go, you got no shot.
That guy who specializes in getting lefties out, that was tough.
I think we've seen a little bit of Toddy trying a little too hard.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
pressing
we
everybody.
About it last week, trying everybody. To steal third. Was that against Detroit? Stole third on Wednesday. Like, we don't need that right now.
Yeah, they're pressing.
Saw one of his worst at bats of the season, probably, on Saturday night, late in that game. He had shown so much patience at the plate. He had completely changed his approach. He wasn't chasing. And then with the game on the line, looking for the big hit, he's fishing for sliders in the dirt.
Yep. It happens, man. The pressing thing is absolutely real. You're trying to make something happen. We've seen this out of this team before. It's not uncommon by any stretch. But, you know, listen, like you said, nobody in the division has had a monster week by any stretch. They really haven't. I mean, everybody has picked the right time to kind of skid. We really needed to scratch out at least one win. We didn't. It's over. You got to flush it. You got to stay positive and move on and figure out a way to beat Logan Webb and the Giants tomorrow night. But they're a tough watch right now. I mean, the pitching has been, you know, really pretty good. I mean, Michael King was electric. Dylan Cease was, he's again kind of, you know, he's walking too many guys. Randy Vasquez, I thought, pitched okay. The bullpen's been really good. It's a tough watch offensively.
If Dylan Cease's name wasn't Dylan Cease, it would have been a fine outing.
Yeah.
But we have come to expect not just
he's
more,
just a little
significantly
off.
More.
He's just a little off. We'll talk about the other games.
I mean, it's two earned runs. Like, again,
yeah, right,
he's
fine.
Not way off. He struck out six. He's a little off.
We have no there's no margin for
exactly,
error right now.
Right.
And that's a tough way to play a baseball game. It's a tough way to play a baseball
Wood
game.
Wood said earlier, we've got a deep well of don't do this to draw from on the program today. So we'll get into some of those stories coming up next. We got Dennis Lynn joining us in our next hour. Lots to get to. More Bennett Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, let me tell you about QC Kinetics. I've been telling you about them for a long time, and I will continue to preach to you about QC Kinetics. If you're experiencing joint pain of any kind, you owe it to yourself to call them today. And if it's keeping you away from doing things that you love, no matter what it is, if it's riding bikes or riding Peloton or playing golf or baseball, whatever it is, man, call QC Kinetics today at 619-614-PAIN. Now is the best time to get started. I don't know where I would be without them, honestly. There's nothing that I want to do right now that I can't do. And that's 100% thanks to QC Kinetics. Had very, very painful wrists. Did not know what the problem was. Went in, got treatments, and doing everything I love to do right now. So call them today, 619-614-PAIN. Get back to enjoying your life without chronic joint pain. They will give you a free consultation. They got appointments available today. Torrey Hills and Hillcrest. No reason to wait anymore. Call QC Kinetics at 619-614-PAIN. It's 619-614-PAIN. Let them know Woodsy from 97.3 The Fan sent you.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why? How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this on a Monday, brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, house, kids, and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust or Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Clearly, we could throw the Shedeur Sanders prank call in this segment, but we're not going to because we got some other things we wanted to get to, and we can talk about it later. I'm going to start. This was just an unusual one. So I grew up at our house every Sunday morning. My mother loved, absolutely loved watching CBS Sunday Morning with Charles Kuralt and then Charles Osgood.
We still do, man.
You do? Now, if you're not a sports person, you don't watch a lot of news programs. This is a really good one. It tends to be very positive, a lot of uplifting stories. They have a very distinct style as well. All the reporters speak very slowly and deliberately and all their
like
stories.
60 minutes-ish.
Yeah, but it's a lot, I don't know. It's a little softer in terms of its style. It's featurey. There are some news-making, interviews on the store, on the program. And this Sunday, they sat down for a interview with Bill Belichick, the head football coach at the University of North Carolina, who was willing to do so because he's promoting a new book that he is releasing. So
the old book tour
that comes with, some media obligation. So he sat down with one of their anchors for an interview. And sitting off to the side during the interview was Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, the 24-year-old. Made a lot of headlines, yeah. Their relationship, the, what do they call it, a May-December romance. Belichick is 73, so
nice to be you definitely don't want to be in the December part of that conversation. You'd like to be in the May part.
It's certainly been a curiosity for people, and I thought the interviewer, Tony, what's his name? Tony, yeah, I don't know his last name, but it's I thought he handled pretty well. Like, people are curious about this. What do you have to say about it? That's when things got a little awkward.
The most awkward might have been what Bill Belichick was wearing. Navy football t-shirt with holes all over it.
He wore one of his hole-ridden, moth-eaten sweatshirts. How does he even get that many holes in his clothes?
It looks like
like, they make clothes better than that nowadays.
Well, you can buy distressed clothing.
That might be a brand new t-shirt.
It could have been from Urban Outfitters, because his girlfriend is 24. Hey, I got this. It's got the holes already pre-made. I remember seeing, when I was a kid, I was in sixth grade, I watched a Bon Jovi video, and I believe it was Living on a Prayer. And John Bon Jovi had these ripped jeans. So I went to my closet, pulled out my jeans, and started cutting the jeans because I wanted them to look like John Bon Jovi's.
I will say, and people will point to Bill Belichick, well, he doesn't care about
appearances.
The appearances.
You're on TV.
He clearly has makeup on, his hair is done. But he put on this. So this is,
I'm telling you, there's a non-zero chance that shirt costs $800.
This is a bit of an act by Bill Belichick. I'll call him out on it.
Yeah.
The wearing of the dumpy, hole-ridden clothes is an act. He puts enough time. Look at, he's well-kempt up on like his face level.
Sure.
Yeah. His hair is done. They put makeup on him. He didn't say no to any of that. He just didn't bother putting on a decent-looking shirt. We've seen him in, suit and tie at events. He can do it. He just doesn't, because that's the image he wants to portray, that he doesn't care about anything else. So I'll call him out on that. But things got a little bit weird when Tony asked him about his relationship with Jordan Hudson.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the...
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
Oh.
No?
No.
Oh, that's... It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on, though Hudson has recently posted about it on Instagram.
You join InstaFace, as you put it. Love that. There's some great pictures of you and Jordan, where you're a fisherman and she's a mermaid. It's charming. It's a different side of you. What's the reaction been like?
What's it been like?
To have these different sort of photos. Like, there's another one where you're doing, I know you're not into meditation or yoga or Pilates. You're balancing Jordan on your feet and she's doing kind of the Titanic pose.
Yeah, so I'm on some of those social media platforms. But I honestly don't follow him.
When you get that assignment from your producer, hey, you got Belichick. I quit. And by the way, his girlfriend's going to be there, and she's going to be wearing you out the whole time. That's it for me. I'm out of the media. I'm going to go sell something door to door.
Send her your questions.
I think it makes Bill Belichick seem very inauthentic.
It does.
You know, I think in his, you know, as the coach of the Patriots,
he's always authentic.
You kind of believe that he was, all right, he's single-minded about his football. He doesn't give really a care in the world about anything else.
His appearance, you guys meet?
Anything
not
else.
Talking about this.
But clearly with Jordan, he's put in a little effort. I mean, it takes some effort to do the whole photo shoot as a mermaid and a fisherman and balancing, you know, her on your feet the way he was doing it. So he's willing to go the extra mile for her, but no one else at all?
I'm picturing the conversation in our house. If Hannah asked me to go to the beach, dress up as a fisherman, and let her be a mermaid and me bout... No, absolutely not. Don't we catch enough grief online? I'm going to balance
you
on my...
If it made her happy, you wouldn't just do it?
No. No, because it doesn't make me happy.
Well, does anyone think that Bill Belichick is enjoying that part of the relationship?
I'm not talking about this.
I would have said no, but
I would think no as
well.
Is he
a hostage right now? Because that's what it feels like.
So I feel like he's doing it just to make her happy. So why can't you just do other things like with your interview? Just give a normal answer.
They said
and be
they
a
met
normal
on a
person.
They said they met on a plane
that's
originally.
What we heard.
Now there's all kinds of rumors.
Now
like,
it's suspicious.
Now it's suspicious. This one got me over the weekend, obviously, and I saw the first thing I saw was Jaron Duran, who plays outfield for the Boston Red Sox, and it was Jaron Duran going after a fan. Then the context came out from Red Sox broadcasters. They were playing in Cleveland, and apparently there were a lot of fans around. They all heard this. It's been confirmed that a fan told Jaron Duran, you should have killed yourself when you had the chance. Mm. And if you watch the clubhouse, inside the clubhouse on Netflix, Jaron Duran was very open about his mental health struggles, talked about the time when he actually had the barrel of a gun in his mouth and actually pulled the trigger and it didn't go off. And there's a line, right? There is an absolute line when it comes to heckling or anything like that. I think that fan unequivocally crossed the line there. And Jaron Duran talked about it after the game. He was very complimentary of the security and the staff. And, you know, I did see people saying, oh, he's soft. And that's the kind of negative stuff that can lead men to not talking about, you know, things that they're going through. And he did say, he said, when you open yourself up like that, you know, you open yourself up to the enemy too. And I said, man, that's a really, really, and it's true. It's been, I've never had a gun in my mouth. Those dark times certainly have made their way into my head and my life and a lot of people out there listening. Please, just a reiteration, don't be afraid to ask for help. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you soft. And that fan's gotta go for life. You can't be yelling stuff like that out at players. You just can't.
I'm sad that he even has to say it opens you up to the enemy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because what they say doesn't matter at all.
Right.
All that matters is what your friends and your family and your supporters say. And it's been nothing but really, from the good side, an outpouring of love and support for Jaron Duran, which is why you are open about these things to begin with, because there is help and there is support.
Yeah.
And so many people are just afraid to say anything and ask for it,
sure,
when it would be readily given. It's not, everyone thinks they'll be a burden when they ask for help. Most people enjoy, you know, helping and trying to be a shoulder to lean on, or just a, you know, an ear to listen. Most people actually like doing that. It's not a burden at all. And everyone thinks they're going to be a burden when they share their struggles. And
well, I mean,
just not, it's not the case.
There's professionals out there. There's professionals, and that's their job is to do it. But yeah, you know, there's definitely a line, man. And that the Guardians put out a statement apologizing, and they're looking into it. And you know, I think Jaren Duran has curried a lot of support and favor, and he certainly got mine. I'll be a fan of his for the rest of my life. He's, you know, I know he's had his issues, man, for sure. But that's a tough one to go out there and hear. That's a tough one to go out. You're just playing a baseball game at this point. Like, what are we doing here? Tough.
Finally, little doo-doo this for a Monday.
DD mega doo-doo.
And I get, sometimes people get tired of stories that have become too big, but I got caught up in the Wrexham series and the story of, you know, Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney buying a fifth level English soccer team, like from in Wales, that was really truly at the bottom of the barrel. 13 years out of the actual, like, the league promotion standings in a town that had become run down, that had been economically passed by. And they go and they put a little bit of their Hollywood money into it and turn it into a reality show. And it could have gone really bad. Could have been embarrassing for everybody. They didn't know soccer. But, you know, they started winning. They got promoted into the, you know, in the second season, they got promoted into the actual football table in the fourth division. And then they won again and got promoted into the third league. And just this weekend, after another year, their fifth season, they got promoted for a third straight time.
Crazy, man.
And are now into the Championship League for next year, which is just one step away from the Premier League. So if they finish top, whatever it is, three or four in their league this year, now the competition is going to be much, much tougher, but they could actually be playing like next year with Manchester United and Liverpool, who won the Premier League over the weekend. They could have gone from nowhere to the top of the top in English soccer. It really is a remarkable story.
It is.
They did it with a win at home. 3-0 over Charlton Athletic over the weekend. And I'm now looking forward to this next season that'll come out that'll chronicle yet another stunning rise for this this soccer team in Wales that has really captured the imagination of the world. They have fans all over the planet now.
Yeah.
And I think it's a really cool story.
Yeah, it's pretty excellent. Pretty excellent.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Monday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we will get some more Padres talk in, go back to the really tough offensive games. You know, hey, we just talked about the 4-2 loss. What about the 1-0 loss on Friday where they didn't score at all against Shane Boz? We'll get into that and much more coming up with Ben and Woods. Don't go away at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3. The Fan. First, though, I want to talk about Prize Picks. In baseball season, Prize Picks, a really fun way to play daily fantasy. Very simple. All you have to do is pick more or less on just up to two players to put into a lineup. And now with a shot to win up to 2,000 times your cash with Prize Picks. It's really easy to sign up. Just go to their website, download the app, and when you do, use our code KWFN to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's code KWFN. Get $50 instantly to play your first $5 lineup. Whenever the mood strikes, you get a hunch about a certain player, like perhaps Nick Pivetta and strikeouts. You can go more than, you know, 5.5 strikeouts. You got a hunch about that. Put a couple of players in your lineup and win actual money this baseball season with Prize Picks. Really easy. It's safe. You know they get over 10 million users. You can get your money fast when you win in as quick as 15 minutes with Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for all the quick and easy deposits and withdrawals all baseball season long. So check it out at Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. That was pretty rough Friday and Saturday for Xander Bogaerts as he committed errors in both of those games, Woods. And they both actually hurt the Padres pretty bad in losses to the Tampa Bay Rays. 1-0 on Friday. Throwing error that led to a, well, it was really Michael King's only rough inning, where they loaded the bases, and he got out of the jam with just the one run, but pitch count got so high that Michael King was only able to go five innings. Four hits, one run, zero earned runs, a walk, and nine strikeouts. I mean, really, actually, an outstanding performance by Michael King
again. As usual.
And then the bullpen comes in and tosses four shutout innings. So, I mean, Padres win it 8-1. We're pretty happy. The problem is they didn't score against Shane Baz.
He's nasty. He's nasty.
He was very good.
But man, like you still had a chance, you know, and the error happened what inning?
Third.
Third inning.
Gotta score one to win.
It shouldn't kill you. Right? It shouldn't kill you. One throwing error, which is, you know, fairly unacceptable on that particular play, had more time than, you know, Sheets, a better first baseman makes that pick. It's a cavalcade. It's a comedy of errors at that point. But an error in the third should not bury your baseball team. It just shouldn't. It shouldn't.
When you really didn't make any other mistakes
Correct.
The whole game.
Correct. It just should not bury your team.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to play perfect baseball every day to win.
Correct. Like the margin for error of this team is razor thin. Razor. And of course, it's exacerbated because we don't score a run.
Yeah, had he not committed that error, they might still be playing
they
that
could
game
still
right
be
now.
With
the Padres
right
bullpen
now.
And the Rays bullpen, I mean, it might be 0-0 in the 92nd inning. Yeah. We haven't even gotten to game two of the series yet. Because I don't know if anyone else was scoring in that game. Padres had a chance in the ninth inning when I believe they reached base on a strikeout.
Yeah, it was squirting it away.
To get the tying run on board. And then Mason McCoy pinch ran. And on a ball that Cameron Meisner made a really nice catch, unfortunately, and I don't know what McCoy is supposed to do. He said he looked to the umpire quickly because he didn't know if he trapped it or caught it. So he looked to the umpire for the only thing he can do because he's got to either run left towards second base or right back to first base. And the umpire's got to say something. He goes, umpire didn't say anything. So I'm left there guessing which way to go. And he ends up, you know, not getting back to first base in time, and the game is over.
That diving play, I cost Paulie an RBI a couple weeks ago on off third base. Paulie had a base hit, but I didn't see that the guy trapped it. The umpire didn't say an effing word. So I go back to tag, and I get thrown out by 10 feet by the right fielder who jumps to his feet and fires one in. You're in literal no man's land. It's a risk that you have to calculate in this quick. Do I just go? If he just goes to second, he's doubled off, right? And
but if he goes back to first and it's trapped, he's forced at second.
It is such a crap circumstance for Mason McCoy. So, yeah, it sucked. There's no way. Things, again.
And he injured himself.
And he hurt himself. Everything that was going our way before is now going against us. And the snowball effect is absolutely real. But so you look at that and you go, all right. Shane Baz, who has been absolutely electric. I said it on the show Friday, Ben. If you get to Shane Baz, you got to do it early. The dude has not given up a run after the fourth inning all season. And he was electric, as he has the capabilities of being. So, all right, fine. Second time in 2 days, I've tipped my cap to the opposing pitcher. Because
Reese Olson
was Greg Maddux against the San Diego Padres. And, you know, we asked Carlos about this on Friday. I said, how rare is it for a hitter to give a pitcher credit? He goes, it almost never happens. I go, when I heard Manny say Reese Olson was fantastic and he was dotting the corners, I go, yeah, he must have been really good. So you tip your hat again. It sucks. The next game, you know, more of the same.
There was a nice moment on Friday, which could have even been our do this, but credit to Padres fans for their welcome back of Ha-Sung Kim.
Yeah.
When he got to tip his cap.
Oh, I was there on Friday night. He got a huge ovation. They started chanting, Ha-Sung Kim.
Which was, that was really nice. I was glad to see the appreciation. He seemed happy for it. He made some comments after
Well, you'll miss him now, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you miss him now, don't you?
Well, I mean, he wouldn't have played for us at this point.
I get it.
He hasn't played for them. But,
I get it.
He made some comments after the game, like, what? You know, was there an offer? Could you have come back? And he goes, I don't know. I just let my agent handle it. I have no idea. I have no idea if the Padres wanted me back or didn't want me back. My agent handled it and said, you're going to Tampa. So I thought, really? You had no say in the matter whatsoever. You had no idea what was going on in the offseason. And, you know, they gave him a pretty good deal, though, considering he was hurt.
Yep.
Got his 2 years with Tampa. And he'll be a nice addition. I mean, that's a team that's now back to .500.
Yep.
It's got really good pitching. And if he can inject some life like he did with the Padres, he gets healthy and has a decent second half of the season, Tampa, I think, could threaten for a wild card spot, at least in the American League.
The Simpson kid is so fun
and,
to watch.
And he was really the breakout star of this series. Obviously, on Saturday, in that game, he was an offensive threat the whole way, but the catch he made to Rob Manny Machado of the home run in the seventh inning, maybe the most electric moment of the entire series.
Yeah.
Just everything going the Rays way. But that was the Dylan Cease game we mentioned a little bit
earlier.
Might
be my new favorite player in baseball to watch.
Oh, he's fat.
Actually,
he's fat.
I just don't ever want to see him against the Padres ever again.
I don't ever want to see the Rays again. They absolutely own this franchise. I mean, they own us. There's no question about it. It's one of those deals where you look at it, it makes no sense, and
did I hear on the broadcast yesterday, Don said something like, the Rays and the Padres have played, I think, 15 series, and Padres have been swept in four or five?
Yeah.
Maybe four before yesterday's result, so
yeah,
five?
I don't want to play them anymore, but no, he was a really, really fun player to watch. They've got good, young, exciting players that, you know, they're going to grind their pitching down and they're going to trade guys, and it's tough. But Friday, Benny, I was pretty confident this team coming back home was going to win two or three. I kind of thought Shane Baz was going to own this team the way that they swung against Reese Olson the day before the previous game. And I was like, all right, I can live with that. It sucked. We had some opportunities. We didn't get it. But, you know, one error shouldn't have buried this team on Friday. But Shane Baz, he shoved. So, fine. I really thought we were going to win the next two. I was pretty confident. And especially the game yesterday against Zach Littell with an almost 5-4 ERA, 0-5 on the season. And, you know, he came out and pitched well. So, it was a really, really bad weekend at Petco Park.
Yeah, Xander Bogaerts had the other error on Saturday with the collision, the pop-up that led
20
to
20 feet on the second base side of the bag.
An unearned run against Dylan Cease, who also had his own problems as well. Gave up the Lau home run in the third, walked four. That's really something Dylan Cease has never done in the past and, you know, can't be doing going forward. Now, he's still getting swing and miss, got six strikeouts. He's still hard to hit.
Yeah.
He's just a little off. It's not like lost it completely. He's just a little off, and that's keeping him from going deep into games like we usually see Dylan Cease. There's something there. I trust Ruben Niebla is going to get it, whatever it is. It's like, I feel like he's one, like, mental key. He's just one thought away from becoming Dylan Cease again. It's not a whole overhaul that they need to do of Dylan Cease.
Yeah.
He's just a little bit off early in the season. And with
the
Padres offense struggling,
no margin for
that's
error.
That's all it takes. There's no margin for error. Ryan Pepiot, six innings, three hits, an earned run.
Pepiot.
Yeah, that's the guy you need to start going to town against, as well as Zach Littell.
Yeah, Janine says, I figured he would try harder in a walk here, but yikes. I don't know that it's a question of effort. I think it's some guys are good in that scenario, and some guys are like, when you're pitching for your next contract, some guys, like, you get a guy that's motivated and is like, oh, this is it. I'm going to show you guys what I can do. Pete Crow Armstrong is a great example. Turned down a big extension and is like, I was like, this guy can't hit. He's an elite defender. He can't hit, but he can run. He's hitting like a madman. He's hitting like Ted Williams right now. He turned down the big extension. He bet on himself. And I think Dylan Cease, you know, potentially, it could be something where he's like, oh, God, I'm going to walk here. I need to be perfect.
I don't think it's mental. I think it's more like golf. In golf, you're not ever...
It's one tweak.
You're always trying to win. It's like, yeah, his wrist is just slightly in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Something is just a tiny bit off, but you can't ever quite figure it out because it all feels normal. But it's just like one tiny thing that he's missing.
How concerned are you?
Not really.
I'm not very concerned. I actually...
I'm still running him out there every fifth day, yeah. Man.
I think we're going to get to July and be like, remember when we were concerned in April?
I hope so. I mean, you know, it'd be nice if everybody went out and dominated and threw like Michael King does.
Maybe this is my just optimism talking. But if they had Merrill and Arise and Cronenworth all healthy in the lineup, I think they find a way to win two or three of these last six games, and then they're fine. They wouldn't have won them all, but they would have had a couple of rallies that were just a little bit longer. They probably would have won that 1-0 game. They probably would have found a way maybe to win yesterday. Maybe they would have won one or more of the Tiger games. And then all of a sudden we're talking about the team with the best record in baseball again. That's the difference between not having those guys in the lineup and having them in. It's not It's not that they're going to win every game with them, but these close games that they keep losing because they're not scoring enough, they will have a couple more rallies thanks to those guys that will turn two runs into five runs and turn a loss into a win.
Well,
that's what we're missing here.
I mean, your lineup gets immediately longer when you have a Cronenworth, Merrill, and an Arise in it. Immediately. Gavin Sheets isn't hitting in the two anymore. He's getting better pitches to hit in the seven, And so, yeah, it's just, it is what it is at this point. It was really, really frustrating watch. I don't subscribe to the no heart. These guys aren't trying. I
don't know.
Call me whatever you want. I don't care. I see effort. I just don't at all from this team. I see effort. I see them wanting to win. I just don't see the execution right now. And in fact, they're probably trying a little bit too much, and it just kills you. It's just that stupid game where max effort, if you are a linebacker, is exactly what you want most times, right? I see the guy has the ball. He's running. I'm giving it 100%. Baseball is, Tony Gwynn Jr. was talking about yesterday, do less. Just do less.
There are teams that over the course of the season will play well, and then for whatever reason, they just lose it, and you see kind of the effort, everything declines.
It wanes.
It doesn't happen that a team in the beginning of April is playing as sharp,
12-1 at home,
as fantastic as any team.
Let's quit.
And then they just flip the switch and
Get it.
Let's just quit on that and do everything different than we were. It's baseball. It's weird. It's not an effort thing.
It's really not. I don't think it is.
It's an execution. It's just a confluence of events. Yeah. All right, we need to check traffic. I want to spend a couple of minutes at least on the top national sports story over the weekend, which was weird. It was the Shedeur Sanders draft saga, and that's coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. I can't imagine you watched much draft coverage. I really didn't watch any of it all, Woods. But did you see the videos, at least, of Mel Kiper Jr. losing his mind?
I've never seen anything like it, man.
As Shedeur Sanders continued to drop and drop.
I'm not sure I ride for Mrs. Woods that hard. I watched him, and I was like, I don't know. Like, this is crossing the... This feels dirty at this point, the way he was riding
now,
for Shedeur.
There's no draft Nick who gets them all right. We talked about it during my mock the draft last Tuesday. Everyone gets everything wrong. I actually was pretty close on Armand Membo. He didn't go number 5. He went number 7 to the Jets. I was
Membo
pretty close
number 7.
There. Membo number 7. But other than that, this was a shocker because, Shedeur Sanders was a really good quarterback. Put up record numbers at Colorado. Most experts at least thought, even if they thought Mel had him a little overrated, still had him as a late first round, maybe second round pick, not someone who was going to fall to the fifth round. So everyone kind of assumed, well, it must have been the Dion factor, right? That dropped him down to the fifth round. There's just too much Dion influence. No one wanted to deal with that. And to me, that's nuts. Dion Sanders may be a big football personality, but if you were talking about any other like quarterback who was the son of a college football head coach who's had a reasonable amount of success and has grown up in the sport, that's nothing but a positive in most like draft circles. That's extra bonus points for a draft pick. That's not something you hold against him because he's Dion's
kid.
Well,
it does. The my counter to that though is when he's like, I want to pick where he goes and I want to have final say over the playbook. Weird stuff like that.
I mean, NFL teams will draft a guy who's like, yeah, I know we probably killed someone, but they can't prove it, and he's got all this talent.
Of course,
so we'll still take him with the ninth
pick.
But
there's a sliding scale that is proportional to your talent, right? And that's how they judge it. Do we want this circus from our third string quarterback or even our second string quarterback? And that's, you are going to get a circus. And I like the kid and I like Dion too. And I've defended him, but I kind of understood a little bit of why the slide happened originally. But there was no place for this. I didn't think the prank call.
The prank call is just a crazy, just twist on this story. and how it got out, and we don't have time for it.
We can get to it.
But here. We can get to it.
I thought it was crazy. Like, I'm not a huge Mel Kiper Jr. fan, I guess, but when, this guy's been doing this for long enough, like 40 years.
Yeah.
And he said, I've never had a player ranked so high. I think he was his fifth overall player in the draft.
He got egg
fall
on his,
that far.
He got egg on his face.
I mean, to
Nobody
see the name
that.
Shedeur Sanders is best available for 3 days sitting yeah. there going, Still there, huh?
Yep.
Still there. As everyone
Still
below
there.
Him has been taken long ago. Just a wild story. We'll reset and have more on this coming up. Next hour, Ben and Woods on the way on 97.3 The Fan.